Warning, this game's setting revolves around an active Middle East combat zone and contains references to extreme violence, graphic content, and other mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
The Rancor's Brothel presents...
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? The craziest body that could ever be. So turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. My atonement has come. My atonement has come. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Iconoclast, a campaign of horrors modern and ancient.
Choking from the smell of stale perfume and the cigarette you're smoking. That scared me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. My atonement has come. My atonement has come.
So, things outside of going directly into Mosul that I think that we want to definitely point in the direction of. One, touching base with Gwyn to get Kazim access to England.
Yep. We should also talk to Gwyn about going into...
Mosul. Yeah. Discussing with the Peshmerga about locations to potentially set up safe houses within.
Yes.
As well as what? What about bouncing the idea of going in the river? Yeah. Off the Peshmerga.
That's a fantastic idea. Because I'm sure they could be like...
Are you fucking insane? There's like 10 checkpoints and... Yeah, or they could be like, it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I like... Yeah, they mind it. A little canoe hits... Yeah,
Think.
Okay. All right.
But not like real mines, like Home Alone type shit.
Yeah.
Fucking bowling balls and shit go swinging across.
It's a golf ball sized piece of C4 with a bunch of nails around it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Crocodile Dundee fishing.
Based on how comfortable we are making targets once we're inside of Mosul of things to look into.
I mean, in all honesty, getting into Mosul, if our covers can do it, that might actually be the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
We're coming from Raqqa. We're heading into Mosul. It's exactly where we're supposed to be.
Because literally
coming
for
from Raqqa,
a city,
that direction isn't that crazy either for us to potentially be on the river.
Seriously?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have... No, from Raqqa, that would be going upriver.
No, because if you look, it would potentially be, but there's a road that runs...
Yes, there's a road that runs
from Syria.
Oh.
There's a road from Syria that runs north and then comes back down, which is one of the main roads towards the closest connector on the Turkish border.
Okay, which Raqqa are we talking?
Talking about Raqqa and Syria.
I would Google
the province looking, yeah.
I would Wikipedia ISIL, but I'm like 90% sure Raqqa, Syria was a major stronghold for ISIL.
Okay.
And may even continue to sort of be to this day. But because I seem to remember, I didn't know there was a Raqqa in Iraq until you just said that earlier, Jeff. So every time I was saying Raqqa, I presumed Raqqa in Syria.
Okay.
If we're going Raqqa in Syria, that's essentially where it's at.
Yes.
And the only main road that goes towards Mosul is up from the north. There's no real major connections maybe here, but it would make sense to follow the main roads up through Syria towards the Turkish border and come down here, which we could connect directly to this, which leads into the Tigris. Tigris River connects to there. So it's not...
Yeah, but I mean, if we're coming from Raqqa in Syria, we have paperwork that says, hey, we're coming from Raqqa in Syria.
True.
We could go right through the checkpoint.
You should do one of those super cool airdrops like Dumbo Drop, where you just drop the whole ISIL truck that you're in on the north side.
It's an option.
Operation yeah. Mosul Drop.
Yeah. Push out a shitty
just a Dumbo.
White Toyota truck.
It's just an elephant named Mosul that we're dropping. It's funny as they made a Halo drop with an elephant in that movie.
It's not a Halo drop.
Wow.
I just think it's really, really cool when they drop like crates of food and it lands perfectly safely. Like you could do that and be a giant truck size
target
floating down on four massive balloons.
Before we get too crazy off topic, we should
too late
write down the list of things that we want to do for next time.
that we kind of did just talked about and established.
So I've got a list so far. Tell me how we're doing. Just checking in with the Elder Sign, making sure we're spreading
the magic love. Mm-hmm. Got it.
We're gonna talk to Gwen. We're gonna get Kasim access in Greece.
Kasim access in England.
Oh yeah, thank you. Someone said
he's in Greece now.
Yeah,
because you went there to look into the Narcotic manuscripts.
Thank you. With the Peshmerga, we're gonna see if we can set up a safe house and ask about the river incursion. And then we're also just going to consider using our covers to get in.
Yeah, Raka covers. What was it we talked about earlier, me talking with Irene? There was something with the CIA that I wanted to look into. Was it?
Well, you said you wanted to look into Irene.
We want to look into Irene, but we also, it was something else. Go ahead. I was going to say details of the, if there's any known locations of the initial Rassam survivors of Rassam's. Mm-hmm. Also, specifically the Gardner Butler guy. Write down Al Rabini, NSA, look into Irene.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Okay. Did you write down talking to Gwen about going into Mosul?
Oh, I bet.
Because with Gwen, we wanted England access and going into Mosul. Did you write down Mosul targets of potential investigation?
We did not get to that.
Okay. So for there, let's go university, mm-hmm. Nineveh ruins, and hospital.
Mm-hmm. I do think, just to credit it, because I'll definitely help you out, especially without Daniel here as a sort of a fourth member, thinking about what you're actually going to do when you get there. Like, if you're going in one time and only one time, what do you need? Who do you need? Are you going to contain? Are you going to destroy? Are you going to surveil? Are you going to have weapons? Are you going to have technology? Are you going to have, you know what I mean? You may want to have that shopping list or whatever, that knowledge ahead of time figured
out.
Just
put camping supplies in quotes.
Yeah.
Editor, make a note of that. So next episode, when one of them says, "Why the fuck did you write camping supplies?" That makes no goddamn sense.
I'll remember that. Yeah. Camping supplies is my sugar maples. Don't worry about it.
Is that your foreskin?
No. Really? No.
I don't know. What is our goal going into Mosul?
Well, that's the thing. I would imagine containment is not our goal, because we don't have anything to contain it with. So until we know more information or how to fabricate one or go pick the some bitch up out of Rassam's.
Yeah, it's intel. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, I think it's surveillance at this point.
Yeah.
Surveillance on Nineveh and trying to find survivors in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe we can set up. Yeah, I mean,
Cody
talking about technology and shopping lists, maybe we can have some stay behind intelligence or cameras or something. We
could potentially speak with Irene, like the CIA person, about mm-hmm. details on survivors.
Yeah.
I would also like to get satellite surveillance from
April 30th in Nineveh.
April 7th,
which
that was the new moon.
So April 7th, gruesome assault. Iraqi crew skinned alive. 12 crew alive in tanks.
You said you wanted to get info from Gwen.
That bit would have come from Irene.
Correct.
Irene.
Oh, the tank crew.
Yes.
Which I believe is the only thing that you've heard matching the attack pattern since March 30th.
Since March 30th, correct.
Do we know where it happened?
It was outside of Mosul.
It was outside of Mosul?
I thought it was. I could be wrong, because we had talked about going to investigate that location. And maybe we were wrong, but I thought it was at a checkpoint outside of Mosul. Oh. If you could confirm or deny that, that would be great.
Correct. It was near Karaka, Kara, which is about the front lines, roughly.
About the front lines, but still south.
Correct.
Front lines like 100 kilometers away?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we definitely need to check it out.
Well, they'd cleaned the tank and put it back into service.
Oh, that's right. We did.
You had asked.
We looked into it, yeah.
Maybe not 100 kilometers away.
I was going to say, that's quite the outlier.
Yeah. But it is, I believe it is accurate. I'm just concerned about the distance, but I do know that it is far out from Mosul.
It's not in the heart of Mosul like the majority of the others.
Correct. I might be right.
Wasn't it like a It might be way off. Is it near a river?
Yes.
Yeah. It's at a, it was at a checkpoint at a river crossing.
It's probably 70 kilometers south.
Yeah.
100 maybe a bit much, but it's like it's down there.
My memory's not the best, but some things oddly stick.
Like chewing gum.
Get Quasimodo access to. No, Kasim, not Quasimodo.
Yes, I have typed Kasim many times and had it autocorrect Quasimodo throughout this game.
The real question is, how many times have you written Quasimodo for it to auto for it to think that you need to autocorrect to that?
It just has no other options. Uh-huh, it's just sure. Kind of like,
that's what it is, Spencer, whatever what you say.
Yeah. No, I'm
role playing.
I'm
your wife.
Into you've Hunchbacks. Been, I was gonna say, okay,
role playing with your wife as Quasimodo.
My wife, she puts the pillow in her back, and I get a boner. Okay, is that what you want to hear?
I was assuming it was
is that what you wanted.
You know, Spencer, I was a hunchback.
Oh shit!
I was literally on the way to do the exact same joke.
So proud of you.
This is kind of what I thought would be really useful for you guys, is to kind of talk through the clues, talk through the timeline, get an understanding of what you want to do. So then that way, when we actually like go to play, we have some stuff.
Add fencing artifacts for money.
Got it.
And if you didn't take a note about the Mosul battalions, Jeff, I do think that that was an interesting idea that you may want to think about. Well.
Yeah, especially because they're Peshmerga backed. The Mosul battalions were the
resistance.
University resistance groups.
That's a good pickup, Jeff.
What?
That's just a historically accurate thing that, in fact, could have significant use in the game.
Oh.
Kudos.
I did spend some time reading about this shit when you told us to go read about this shit.
Well, yeah, because I think it's useful.
Yeah.
It was like university student and bureaucrat or former public worker.
Like social servants and sort of your educated elites, not a good word, but sort of, you know, your educated
state workers.
Yeah. And students. I'm trying to put them in a defining class, but I'm not sure what it would be.
Public figures? No, I don't know.
Anything else anybody wants to go over?
I want to start a fight club.
There aren't any details from the actual research with the clay tablets we need to go back over, is there?
What's that? I'm sorry.
There aren't any details with the research from the clay tablets we need to go back over, is there? Because I think we've gotten two instances of information.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind getting those written down a little more clearly.
If you want to tell me what they were so I can share them with you.
You don't have them written down?
I have a lot written down, but I'm going to make it at least a little difficult for you.
The myth slopes of Artemi.
That's probably enough for me to give you something. Fragmentary myths say that on the slopes of what is now known as Mount Arteni in modern day Armenia, a struggling tribe found a mountain spirit, demon, or god.
I'm listening. I'm not going to be able to write and keep up with you.
Yeah, I know. A struggling tribe found a mountain spirit, demon, or god identified in Akkadian as Sagasu, Romanized as Shagash, the god of slaughter. Worshippers called Shagash Abim Anuntum, the father of war. So if you're putting it in a timeline, this would be like probably early
2013.
No, just like very, very early.
You took it seriously.
Very, very early.
Like
father of war type stuff. Because, I mean, for fuck's sake, Sagasu is Akkadian. So I don't know when Akkadian was a spoken language, but not recently. Because if it was later Romanized, that means it's it's pre-Roman Empire.
Pre-turn of the millennia. And I should say previous millennia, so the last one.
Pre-turn of probably...
Ancient Mesopotamian.
Probably pre-turn of 2 millennia.
Yeah.
3rd millennia BC.
Six, so 8,000 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
5. Seven. 2. He said 3rd. You said 3,000 BC?
3rd millennium BC.
Yeah, so 3,000 BC.
Mm. I thought a millennium was 2,000 years.
No, millennium is 1,000 years. Mm. So 5,000... Akkadian was popular, say, 5,000 years ago. So...
Okay.
I sent the list, the to-do list.
So Sagasu is...
It wouldn't let me press enter, so it's kind of annoying to read, but...
So it was later replaced by Old Aramaic.
That's what I'm saying. This is super fucking... This is pre-biblical. This is... Do they have... They have to have written examples of Akkadian then, right? Akkadian would have been on clay tablets?
Go in. Hey.
I'm just curious where... So you're saying it's Akkadian as Mesopotamian?
Yep.
Interesting. So then how fucking old is Aramaic?
8th century or 8th millennia BC. No, 8th right. century BC.
That makes much more sense. I'm like, I'm real bad at math, Jeff, but you just launched us back another 5,000 years into the past. I'm like,
we're a bunch of liberal arts students, but
era for Akkadian is 2500 to 500 BC.
Okay. Rough.
Academic or liturgical use until AD 100.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Because it would have been replaced by Roman, by Latin, probably. Okay. That makes sense. Because that would have been
language inscription on the obelisk of Manishtushu.
Because here's what's really fucking fascinating. Then you look at, because I've been looking into this for another game that I'm getting ready to hopefully run someday. Then go look at how long the fucking Egyptian like culture was in place, because they were in place for all of that shit and then some.
Yeah.
Like they talk about a lot about the Roman Empire, but god damn, those Egyptian pharaohs were like it's hard to theorize. Like we go back to say the founding fathers, or you go back to what the fuck is the British paper from the king, the I hate being dumb when I can't think. Anyway, you go back 200 and some odd years to the founding fathers. You go back another 400, 500 years to some of the founding documents, right, of British rule. We're not even out of the era of the most recent era of the pharaohs, let alone the era that came before that era. Like, it's fucking stupid how long Egyptian royalty was a thing. Like, I'm pretty sure you can measure their empire on the realm of millennia.
Did they do the stupid inbreeding thing like the... Europeans. Keep it in the family.
But yeah, I was reading some interesting stuff the other day when I was walking on the track at work about like the assassination of Alexander the Great and the upheaval that did in the ancient world. I never really got into ancient history, so it's interesting to read it in later life. Yeah. Shit's cool. They fought over his corpse, actually. Huh. Because in some cultures, having possession of the corpse was a way to suggest divine right in a way.
Dibs.
Right. That's basically what they did. Alexander was like, if I die, I'd like to be buried in Egypt. And Ptolemy's like, how about we just bring your sarcophagus over here? And by the way, yeah, I'm going to unite the Greco-Egyptian world under me. Ptolemy one. And I'm going to anthropomorphize a bunch of your gods and some of the Greek gods and kind of throw them all together. And that makes my right divine in terms of rule. Go me. did that give you the bit of history that you wanted to know, Jeff?
I also have... The cult of Chagash vanished.
Correct.
Rogue priests contained.
I'll read this one to you if you want me to. Yeah. That's enough for me to know which one you read, which is consistent with my notes. The cult of Chagash, the father of war, vanished around 1000 BCE. One myth describes the cult's fall in detail. A rebellious priest sealed the father of war in the throne of blood using something called Darum Aksum, a shackle or bandage in other contexts, to bind gods or mortals or ancient things. The priest put the amphora in a stone chamber where a bronze roof could be pulled back to let in the light of day. By night, slaves were sacrificed to Chagash. By day, the priest attempted to command his god. His every effort failed. Fearing vengeance, he buried the throne of blood deep in the desert. Restrained, or perhaps preserved, for what should have been eternity, the father of war was all but forgotten. The priest kings of Assyria reduced the temples of Chagash to rubble and exterminated the sons of war. So essentially, you've kind
of
got
the
beginning.
Sons of war?
Mm-hmm. Do we ever look up where Rassam's family's quarries were?
I believe they're in southern Iraq.
Why do you ask what's going through your brain right now?
If it was buried in the desert, how was it found?
Yeah.
Who dug it up? Who knew what it was when it was dug up?
Yeah, good point.
You do have piles and piles of Rassam's journals, too. It's just going to take a long time to decipher things.
What was the other, what was the Iraqi name for the Mosul battalions?
Did you ever watch the original Power Rangers movie?
Yes. In theaters.
The amphora that's dug up that let out Ivan Ooze. who converted and turned the people. Oh, shit. I found out what the actual... My childhood just gave me the plot to this game.
Go Power Rangers. That's what it says on that page. The Mosul Battalions, or...
I would laugh if it's like hidden in there somewhere.
Kitab al-Mosul. K-I-T-A-E-B.
This one was written by Glancy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Glancy doesn't strike me as a Power Ranger guy, but
I assume not. The 1998 Power Rangers movie.
You never know, though. Possible.
How old's Glancy? Does he have kids?
I would say Glancy is older than Jeff, if I had to guess. I don't know how old he is.
And if he had kids, I am sorry for them.
Because I don't know. I don't know that I've ever heard. I'm pretty sure he's married. So I think the odds are that he probably has kids. But I would say, because you got to remember, he worked with Detweiler on the original DG, which came out in the mid to late 90s.
I believe Scott Glancy?
Adam Scott Glancy, yeah. Adam. Because he actually, the original DG predated the X-Files by like, it's something dumb, but it predated the X-Files by like 6 months. Huh. There's actually a lot of really weird stuff connected to, especially the original Delta Green, that freaks me out. I once had a very surreal moment that the phrase, I think I've told this before, but the phrase "be seeing you" was something that I read in Delta Green, and it talked about how agents would say to each other "be seeing you" to kind of clue you in that it was that you're talking to a DG person, and that they would make a sign by putting like an OK symbol over their eye. I then watched Babylon 5. And very prominently near the end of season one, early season two, a secretive agent from that universe basically says the phrase "I'll be seeing you," and then proceeds to do that exact same hand sign signaled in Delta Green.
Very interesting.
Because both are references to what the fuck is it? There's an old British show.
The Prisoner.
I can never remember who it is.
Well, I'm personally pretty steeped in kind of like parapolitics and alternate views of history and deep politics. It's just really interesting. It's fun. And yeah, this shit strikes me as like someone who has a tinfoil hat that's like three times as thick as mine. Like, they're insane. And they know a lot of the dark, scary shit of history that most people don't.
Listening to Glancy is one of my favorite / most horrific things that I can do. That man is just a wealth of horrifically interesting knowledge. And I find that the older I get, the more I start angling in that direction.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about it, too.
I'm not worried about it.
I'm worried about it.
I bought a fez over there. I want to earn it. I want to earn being the weird old man who mows his yard in a fez and references things that are 40 years before his time.
I'm more worried that he's going to end up on the inside of shit and the podcast is going to turn more into like an Ender's Game of actually solving shit. We're all here playing a game, but in reality, like, we're moving pieces and they're... How horrific would that be?
I don't see anything horrific about what you've described at all. Like, not even a little bit. I've actually talked to Jeff quite recently about how the future games I want to play, I want to absolutely break the fourth wall on more than one occasion and make it an aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Should we be scared? I think we should be scared. I'm scared.
So you got your to-do list. You've got some notes. I've read you your stuff. Anything else anybody wants to cover? I feel like this was shockingly productive.
Considering how slow we were to get started and how reluctant.
Well, I think it's hard when you do this. This is the type of things that have to happen for this game.
Yeah.
There's also just a level of like, okay, what do we actually know? It's been so long. Us to sit down, go through some of our notes, remember the shit that we actually wanted to do, rethink some things. It's important for this, for certain.
It's one of the reasons why I established that Discord, because I knew that keeping close notes would be
so that's
crucial.
Why I was like, will you please put those there so we can reference them again in the future?
Yeah.
Because taking smart notes on the back of character sheets as disparately as we have.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to go over, Jeff?
No, I'm good. I'm trying to find what I read. I don't know.
Oh, the Mosul Battalions?
Yes.
I can't remember. Did Kasim ever get it? I know he made shitty rolls, but did he get anything from his time in Greece?
I didn't actually make shitty rolls. I actually made some good rolls. I'm magic now.
Kasim has learned spells.
Yeah, I've learned
and
spells.
Kasim,
oh,
yeah. Kasim, no, it actually, I think the rolls have gone pretty well, actually.
What is Kasim's spells that he does? What does he know?
I think we're in the middle of investigating that. I don't think we're...
No, because you were, like, leaving, I thought.
No.
Maybe you weren't.
Well, because I like, if I remember correctly, it's like.
You were vague about some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what you were being vague about.
Yes.
I don't know what you were being vague about, Cody. So, but it scared me, and I want to leave.
Are you Whispers of the Spined One type shit, or is this like relevant to the game type shit?
Cody was like,
yes, and?
You have turned over a rock. You have turned over a rock that is a big rock, that a rock that will take a month to turn over or a year to turn over.
Well, yeah, because like that's the thing. I know that a lot of people have avoided reading Cthulhu stuff to try not to be spoiled. And I get that and I understand that. But I do think that there's a level of as you learn this stuff, it means more to you. The Nacotic manuscripts are a seminal text in the Cthulhu mythos. The Nacotic manuscripts, I would say, are arguably more important than the Necronomicon. You have in your hands a core text of magic and understanding about the world. Like you have a key text. So there's a lot that could be unpacked there. How much of it is Whispers of the Spine One versus how much of it is in-game relevant remains to be seen, but you can find stuff in the Nacotic manuscripts for sure. I think where you're worried about the roles, there were some things that occurred in Greece at that time, because it is 2016, so I'm pretty sure they're going through a financial crisis.
Oh.
Because it's Greece and it's modern day and they're going through financial crisis.
Oh, I totally didn't think about that.
They are.
Oh.
They are.
Kasim needs to get the fuck out of Greece. No, there are things that are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so we had talked about that.
Yeah.
We'd also talked about apparently, like, they had recently discovered while excavating part of the library, like, they had found a corpse. And you were like, that's weird. Are you throwing something out or is that just random bullshit? And I said, well, yes and. And then you were reading because you had to make two roles. You had to make, like, an Italian role and another role.
Like Italian stuff. And occult.
Yeah.
So like
Greek.
You,
there's oh, Greek. Yeah, Greek and yeah.
So you
failed the Greek.
Yeah,
because Greek is checked on there.
And actually, I have a pretty low. That's where I'd been kind of getting lucky because I have a pretty low Greek score. It's like 30.
40.
But 40, that's when, as you were trying to like get some information from this seminal Cthulhu mythos text, and as you are. You're getting some stuff and you're learning magic. Like we had brought up, as I recall, situation in Greece. And then you had found out about England. And Jeff went, holy shit, it never occurred to me that there might be other groups doing this shit. And I went, uh-huh. And you're like, holy shit, I'm in Greece by myself reading this very magic text that should be very restricted. Uh-huh. Okay. And that's sort of where we left the last episode, more or less.
We should call Gwen.
Yeah. And let him know that Kasim's in Greece.
Yeah. Like,
add that to
that
the,
on
list.
The list.
Put that on.
Let Gwen know Kasim is in Greece.
So, because I remember Jeff very specifically going,
shit.
He was it had never occurred to me that international politics might be involved in this. It's like, yeah, you only ever play games based in the States. You may not be the only players on the field. And so that was when the discussion came up about England, which is one thing that we haven't talked about yet this evening, is that you were told England is off limits.
Right.
And I thought we were told we were required to get permission.
The important distinction, agreed. Yeah.
Well, I think that Gwyn is incredibly hesitant. I have in my notes that he's looking into it. But Gwyn is incredibly hesitant at telling you, do not fucking go to England on your own. Because some of you guys had said, oh, just fuck it. We'll just go, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll go and not respect that. But Jeff's old DG contact
was like, don't be cowboys.
Was
about
like,
this.
Hey. Do you realize that that's the other side of the fence, right? You kick the ball over there, you wait for them to throw it back. You don't actually go on the other side of the fence and get it yourself. to which you guys said, what's the worst that could happen? So I don't care what your plan is.
I don't think we said that, to be honest. I think we've been...
Yeah, he likes to gaslight us.
He has. I think we've been incredibly scared and careful, Cody. Thank
the word
I'm
is careful, not scared.
I'm going to pull
I'm scared of Cody, okay?
I'm going to pull a Troy and be like, don't tell me what I'm doing.
That's a good Troy. You know what what sold the Troy is the little shake. Don't tell me.
There it is.
There
it is. It's almost Popeye.
That's
yeah.
1,000% of Troy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys don't make a decision, I'll just kind of hedge you into one and see if you go with it.
Yeah, no.
So, yes, you could go to England or you could wait on Gwyn. So that's another thing that you could do.
No, we were definitely waiting on Gwyn.
Oh, yeah.
We just hadn't thought about the fact that, oh, shit, we're already somewhere else. where they've got one of these texts stored.
Yeah, I would say the Necronomicon, Narcotic Manuscripts, Book of Ibon.
Wait, don't you put every fucking one of those dice away. We gotta roll some dice before we leave. We cannot leave.
Here we go.
What do we get?
Pick it up.
It was a 90.
I think it was a 9, not a 90.
No, it was a 6.
Oh.
It's Friday the 13th. We cannot leave this place without rolling it.
It is Friday the 13th.
We have to roll
also,
a single dice.
Also, quite depressingly, Schroeder reminded me that there is currently massive conflict in the Middle East and that political things are going up on and Zionism and extremism and innocent people are dying right now. Yeah. Due to cultural and religious bullshit.
I have family in Israel, and so it's awkward. It's just, I'm not even going to say anything about it other than it's awkward and horrible and terrifying, and I'm scared for them. And yeah.
That's fair.
But I'm just going to shut up.
It's complex.
It's awful.
It's complex.
It really is.
Holy shit, man. People should have made better decisions.
Yep.
Like, and it people should have made better decisions to the point where you're like, did they intentionally not make those decisions to do this?
Yeah. It's where they are. The parapolitical horrors just
I was just talking to him about you could write a fucking DG scenario specifically about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
They rode fans and
they paraglided in.
They paraglided in.
That was that one specific area. So I mean, they took down the fences with the bulldozers. They'd
Anyway,
Netanyahu was warned on multiple occasions within the last 10 days prior to the assault that something big was going to happen, and instead kept the IDF around all the settlers in the West Bank.
Fuck it, I'm going to say it as a fucking goddamn commie. I mean, literally, Israel funded Hamas to kind of hedge their bets against the PLO. The Palestinian Liberation, the leftist organization. So,
I mean,
just kind of like we funded the Mujahideen, which became Al Qaeda. Huh, that seems familiar. It's almost like it's imperialism, blowback, come back on.
There's a TikToker that I would like to share with you at some point if I find him, Spencer. I'll remember to send it to you. But I think he's a raging, angry man who yells a lot. I'll try and find him for you.
That's my energy. I like that.
Yeah. I sent him to Jeff and I sent him to Schroeder too. He was the guy who talked about the Italian shock troopers in World War I.
Oh, I never actually watched it.
That guy just starts screaming into the camera. He's really, really fun to watch. But he was like,
this isn't the guy with the fish.
No, this is a different guy.
Okay.
Oh, I need to get back to the guy with the fish.
The guy with the fish is getting progressively crazier.
Oh, really? That never happens to people who look and stare into the abyss. What?
But it's great to watch. Yeah. They do 4-hour live streams now. It's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with comments from the audience.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
It's completely unhinged.
It is, but it's great.
Audience,
just like the Bigfoot Museum, I continue to follow that guy because there's some really cool stuff. I've had some email correspondence with him. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
I just sent it. I was like, man, hey, I, because one of the books I got was autographed. And I was like, hey, I didn't take anybody's book, did I? Because I'd feel real bad if I bought an autographed book and it was not supposed to be bought because it was a display or something.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's cool. I get him to autograph. And I was like, well, I really liked your museum and I really hope that you publish a book sometime because I'd like to see your research. He's like, that's really cool. I'm here so that people can learn. And I'm like, you are an awesome dude.
Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe anything in your writing,
right.
But I'm really fascinated in everything that you've discovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which shout out to Bigfoot Museum.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Well worth the $10. That guy.
Okay.
We can watch some of those clips. Have you ever seen that guy on TikTok before?
No, but someone send this to me. That's fantastic.
I was going to watch it again because that's one of his better ones. But yeah, no, he was like, yeah, and guess what? He's like, because in fucking, he's like, you just keep taking it back. He's like, yeah, you are the fucking Mujahideen. And you're like, oh yeah, hey, you can't be in the Mujahideen. You're too radical for that. And he's like, I'm going to make my own thing. I'm going to call it Al Qaeda.
The base.
he's like, oh, okay. He's like, guess what? You're too radical for Al Qaeda. He's like, oh yeah, I'm going to make my own thing. And he keeps going through
amazing.
All this. He's very, very good.
Yeah. And, well, one of my favorite new guys. guys on TikTok. He basically, it started as cancel this clothing company is what it's called. And he'll like take a picture of like the shampoo aisle at Target. And then he'll go through and he'll be like, here are the three massive companies that own these brands. And here's like the one family company. And now he started a YouTube channel where he started at shampoos and who owns those different brands. And he's gotten all the way to 9/11 trutherism on YouTube. That's how it starts. You start going down the rabbit hole and then you end up at some pretty weird fucking places.
You end up at Hollow Earth and lizard people.
Yeah.
If you've never listened to anything David Icke has ever said, David Icke is also really fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Except that guy, like my understanding is he went from zero to 60. He was an English footballer and very popular. And then the motherfucker just like went off the deep end on a daytime talk show, and he's like, oh yeah, no, the royal family are all lizard people. And he's just like,
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, go.
Also,
go.
The moon is nothing but a projection.
Amazing.
Awesome. Josh Eel got me on David Icke. He's batshit loony.
The best way I've ever heard like conspiracy theories explained is it's a jambalaya. You know, they throw everything in there.
Yeah.
You got the shrimp, you got the sausage, you got the turds, you know.
Because the harder it is to disprove.
Yeah, yeah. You can really ruin the jambalaya with some turds. And there are some turds in there. And it's fun.
To end this, next time, we'll do something exciting. I don't know. I got nothing. What are you going to end the podcast with, Jeff?
He would have already cut it about 20 minutes ago.
I was about to say less than 5% of this is going to happen.
Maybe at the end of the Mujahideen TikToker.
Oh, hell no. I am keeping every bit of this in.
Why would you?
This has been entertaining as hell for me. I'm sure someone else will enjoy it.
I was going to note, because we just started releasing episodes, we are getting some decent push. I've had more comments about this show than I have had in several shows, so.
Okay.
Somebody was like, oh, on X, since Twitter's not a thing anymore. Someone on X. I love how I've been reading a lot of CNN articles.
It's
going to
be Twitter until the day I die, just like it's going to be showbiz.
Just so you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's no, I don't imagine that was being picked up.
I don't know if it was.
X, in CNN, it's always X, formerly known as Twitter. So I want to refer to it sort of like the artist formerly known as Prince. The social platform formerly known as Twitter. Somebody reached out and they're like, oh my God, this sounds so good. And one of our hardcore listeners, actually, she messaged me and she was like, oh my God, I think I sent the thing. She's like listening to episodes multiple times. She's like, this is great. And I love what you guys are doing. So
nice.
Shout out.
That ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Our title track, Mama Told Me Not to Come, composed by friend of the podcast, Ian Shannon, with additional vocals by Lucas Patterson and Cody Grady. You can find more of Ian's work at sleepfortheweary.com. Like what you heard? Check out more episodes online at rancorsbrothel.com, YouTube, or anywhere you can download podcasts. Enjoy talking nerdy? Follow the podcast with other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.
It is. I don't wanna see no more.